question I would like to ask today is a simple one. Why be Jewish? If I tried to give this sermon 60 years ago, people would look at me like I'm crazy. First, I'd be 4 years old. Second, everyone would be asking, who has a choice about being Jewish? For most of the last 4,000 years or so, you were Jewish if you were born into the tribe. Simply put, Isaac didn't have a choice, and neither do you. In biblical times, Judaism traveled along the father's line. The best example is Joseph's son. Joseph, of the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat fame, married the daughter of an Egyptian priest. It's never recorded, at least in the Bible, that she converted, yet his two sons become tribes of Israel. So there's no question about their Jewishness. Moses marries the daughter of a Moabite priest, and it's never questioned about the Judaism of his sons. The rabbis of the Talmud change this patrilineal descent to matrilineal descent about 1,500 years ago, probably for two reasons. You always know the mother of the child. You may not necessarily know the father of the child, but you always know the mother of the child. If there are any questions on this, see your biology teacher. And it's important to know who's Jewish, because there is no such thing as half-Jewish. I mean, what would it mean if you're half-Jewish? You can eat half a ham sandwich? You're either Jewish, and you're bound by the commandments and by the traditions, or you're not Jewish. And it's important to know which. So, in Judaism, most of us here are Jewish because we're born into the tradition. My favorite example of this is the idea of Madeleine Albright. Madeleine Albright was President Clinton's Secretary of State, and she discovered fairly late in life that her parents were Jewish, yet they hid it from everyone because they were in World War II Czechoslovakia. So she discovered that her parents were Jewish. According to Jewish law, she is as Jewish as the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. And her children are fully Jewish. Judaism, in a sense, is the last surviving example of a time when your religion went with your nationality. Think about it. In ancient times, if you were Egyptian, you worshipped Egyptian gods. If you were Roman, you worshipped Roman gods, Greek gods, and so on. If someone asked you, you're a Greek, what's your religion? You would look at them strangely. I'm a Greek, my religion is the Greek gods. So if you were an Israelite, you worship the Israelite God. Religion, the idea of religion has changed, but Judaism has kept to that idea. So in a sense, we're more like a tribe or a nationality. You can't stop being Italian or Irish, and you can't convert to being Italian or Irish or Latino. But you can with Judaism. For most of our histories, both Jews and non-Jews understood this about Jews and Judaism. Understood that we were a people, a nation. In many communities where Jews lived, we were taxed as a nation living within another nation. We were not treated as citizens of other nations. We had our own language. We have our own laws. We were a people apart. Then came the Enlightenment and new ideas, radical ideas. The idea is that Jews are people like other people with individual rights. That they can be citizens of France and Germany and the United States. So this becomes very puzzling for the rest of the world. What is Judaism then? Well, people said, I know, it's a religion, like Christianity and Islam. And the conversion path into Judaism supports this idea. I can't convert to being Italian, but anyone who is not Jewish can indeed convert to becoming Jewish. Conversion is, you convert to Judaism by accepting Jewish beliefs and ideas. And indeed, religion, post-Jewishly, becomes about beliefs and ideas. The child of a Christian, of two devout Christians, who doesn't accept Christian ideas is not considered by Christianity to be Christian. But as you know, the atheist child of a Jewish mother is considered under Jewish law to be fully Jewish. But Jews don't seek converts, because throughout most of our history, conversion was a capital crime, a crime punishable by death for both the convert and the person who supervise the conversion. Traditionally, a rabbi is supposed to send a convert away three times. This tradition actually comes from the book of Ruth, where Ruth seeks to join her mother-in-law, Naomi, and Naomi three times discourages her and then finally accepts her. I should note that certainly in the Reform world, and I'm ordained in the Reform tradition, we don't seek out converts, but we don't send them away either. The Talmud teaches us that a convert is to be thought of as fully Jewish. We are not supposed to remind the convert of his or her status. The choice these days for converts are Jews by choice, which makes the rest of us Jews by chance, or Jews by birth. Thus, throughout most of our history, Jews had no choice about their Judaism. Internally, we understood that we were part of the Jewish people, Am Yisrael, the Jewish nation. And the world understood that we were part of a separate nation. And very few crossed the line in or out. I submit to you that today things are radically different. Today, we, all of us, are Jews by choice. We are completely free to be Jews, or whatever we like, or nothing at all, irrespective of the circumstances of our birth. Many things reveal this. Think of interfaith marriage. My father once told me, and understand, my parents were very Yiddishkeit, but they were not observant at all. I think I may have mentioned last night, I didn't attend a single high holiday service until my mid-30s. An indication of how unobservant we were. But my father told me he could no more contemplate marrying a non-Jew than marrying a Martian. In his world, it was completely inconceivable. Among my peers, his children, marrying a non-Jew was considered a shanda, a shame in the family. Among my children, it's no big deal at all. I should ask the question, how many of you have non-Jews in your family? It's almost universal these days. And most people I know, as long as their children are happily married and their spouse is a wonderful person, don't consider it a deep, dark secret. We don't hear about people sitting shiva because of the marriage of their children. Sometimes I think it's more of a problem for rabbis than anyone else. And I should say at this time, when I talk about interfaith marriage, I do officiate at interfaith marriages. And I always caution people who are in a position of seeking a rabbi, because I would say about half of Reform rabbis will officiate at interfaith marriages. Conservative and Orthodox rabbis will certainly not officiate, cannot officiate. And sometimes people are swindled by unreputable rabbis. Sometimes they're just people who call themselves rabbis because they've had business cards printed and who will charge exorbitant fees for that kind of officiation. Other things reveal that we're truly Jews by choice. Affiliation rates are quite low, typically about 20% or less, especially in areas where there are lots of Jews and Jews don't feel the need to affiliate. In Jewish practice, there's very little pressure on Jews here in Ojai and in Camarillo, where we live, to be kosher, Sabbath observant, tefillin wearing, three times a day, davening synagogue attendees. My bar and bat mitzvah students are often making choices between Friday night coming to services or going to football games or cheerleaders without any sense of shame or coercion from anyone. So each of us, each of you, have a choice whether or not to be Jewish. Not in a technical, Jewish, legal, halachic sense. I love Rabbi Harold Schulweis commenting on when Jews worry about Jewish law, halacha. It becomes most important, he says, when Jews are hatched, matched, and dispatched. Namely, at birth, at weddings, and at funerals, all of a sudden the fine points of Jewish law become critical. I've officiated at weddings where we've worried about who's halachically allowed to sign the ketubah, and right after the ketubah is signed and the marriage is completed, we go back and there's shrimp cocktail and crab cakes and so on. But in a more important sense, You have a choice as to how being Jewish will inform and change your life. So why be Jewish? Let me reflect on a few reasons. Here's the least important reason, in my opinion, but a reason nonetheless. The Jewish Holocaust theologian Emil Fackenheim proposed a 614th commandment. Thou shalt not grant Hitler a posthumous victory. How tragic would it be if Judaism faded away after the horrors of more than 2,000 years of anti-Semitism? If it turned out that we could survive the world's hatred, but we couldn't endure the world's acceptance and love. 100 generations have handed the Torah down to us, many in incredibly trying, even life-threatening times. Cannot we hand the Torah down to one generation more? But we have to offer more than just negative reasons to be Jewish. I believe it's important to be religious, to live your life as though God is a significant factor. And just as you can't speak without a language, you can't be religious without a religion. Last night I talked about the two compelling reasons for me to be religious. The idea that without God there is no objective good and evil. We may have our own ideas about good and evil, but as I mentioned, Hitler and Stalin had those, had different ideas, and who's to say who's right? And also, without God, life is objectively meaningless. As I mentioned last night, if science is the only reality, and I know something about science, then we're just a biological accident, and there's no significance or meaning to our lives, the lives of our children, our grandchildren, or being here. I can't prove that either of these things are wrong. I just refuse to accept them. I refuse to live my life as though there is no objective good and evil, and as though life is meaningless. So I believe people should have religion in their lives, and they should try their home religion first before rejecting it and going on to another religion. But I hasten to add that I do believe that there are many people searching and seeking other religious paths, and I think that's okay. I confess that I'm afraid of a world that is only secular, where the only question is, will I get caught? Not what is right. I remember vividly, after Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, images of looting and theft, even by policemen in uniform. And we all remember the same kind of images in the Los Angeles riots. Yes, religious people have done terrible things in the name of religion, but they don't come close to what secular monsters have done. You know, I'm often confronted with the idea that religion has caused more war and trauma than anything else, and it's just simply not true. An example people often propose is the Inquisition, a horrible thing. The Inquisition lasted 400 years, you may not know this. It was only disbanded in the 1800s. In the total time of the Inquisition murdered about 5,000 people. Terrible, but 5,000 people in 400 years. At Auschwitz, 500 people were murdered twice a day. 10,000 a day at Auschwitz. If you doubt this question, ask yourself, if I were walking down a dark, lonely street in a not-so-good part of town, and I came across a group of young men walking toward me, would I feel better knowing that they had just come from Bible study? Even a fundamentalist Christian Bible study. We all bemoan the decline of civility, of manners, of taste, and more important, respect for parents, elders, and law. I honestly believe there is no better hope for society than religion. Like democracy, it may not be a perfect system. It just seems to work better than its absence. I want governments to be secular, and I want people to be religious. Another reason to be Jewish is that Judaism is a wonderful path to spirituality. I think I commented on this last night. I trust religious spirituality and Jewish spirituality more than pure spirituality. And I mentioned this. You know, you're standing in a beautiful forest and you're filled with wonder of creation and incredibly blessed and gifted, and you're having an incredible spiritual moment. That's wonderful. From a religious point of view, from a Jewish point of view, you've just been given a gift, And as I mentioned last night, the gift comes with strings attached. You've been given this gift, and now you're obligated to share what you have so that other people can be similarly blessed. Another reason to be Jewish is to be, Judaism is to be lived within a culturally, ethnically, spiritually exciting, healthy, and intellectually stimulating environment. I never knew this till I studied Judaism as an adult. I'll say more about that in a moment. But think of the holidays, the foods, the customs, the language, the food, the literature, the expressions, the stories, the food, the celebrations, the rituals. Did I mention the food? When interfaith couples come to me and they tell me that their plan is to expose their children to both religions and let their children make up their own mind, I'm saddened for many reasons. First, I know what the children will be taught is merely a series of holidays with none of the depth, the richness, the content, and the context behind the holidays. It reminds me of a story. One of my teachers, a mystic named Larry Kushner, said he will believe in artificial intelligence and computers if when you ask a computer a question, the computer responds by saying, "That reminds me of a story." So this reminds me of the story of Molly and Saul. And they are poor people living in a little shtetl in the old country. Dirt poor. And they're getting older, and Saul says to Molly one day, "Molly, I go past the restaurant and I see these rich people eating blintzes. And they are eating it with such gusto and they enjoy it. Once in my life before I die, could you please make me a blintz?" And Molly says, "Saul, where are we going to get the money? Do you think we have money to buy eggs?" So Saul says, "No, so you'll do something, replace the eggs." And says, "What about cream?" All right, you do something else, you know, replace the cream. And the sugar, where are we going? Molly, you're a resourceful woman. You'll make do. You'll figure out something." Well, Molly is indeed a resourceful woman. She does the best she can. She cooks something up. She puts it in the plate before Saul. Saul is all excited. He's going to finally taste the blintz. He tastes it. He chews it thoughtfully. And he says, "Molly, for the life of me, I don't understand what these rich people see in blintz." This, I fear, will be the response of children exposed to a religion that's devoid of its important ingredients. If we only have a little bit, the shell of the blintz, the shell of the religion, indeed there is nothing there, and people walk away saying, "I don't understand what there is in this religion business." I'm saddened because I know this compromise really reflects the inability of the parents to address the issue. The parents say they're going to let their children choose their religion. These same parents won't let their children choose the toothpaste that they'll use. I worry that it may lead to later strife as the kids use that synagogue, mom's church, as a weapon. There are some families where children and parents actually argue. But most of all, I know that these kids are going to be cheated out of the security of knowing who they are and where they fit in the world. While I work with interfaith couples to help them choose to make their homes Jewish ones, I would rather see their children and my own grandchildren raised in another religious tradition than in no tradition at all. Why be Jewish? I choose to be Jewish because Judaism is intellectually stimulating and rational, in addition to being spiritually rewarding. I am a physicist and a scientist. I could not accept any religion that was not intellectually and scientifically rational. Judaism is especially so because of its emphasis on what a person does as contrasted to what a person believes. And I believe all the commandments are there to support us in job number one, to repair the world and to make it a better place. But in the final analysis, I believe you should be Jewish, not because your parents want you to be Jewish. Not because your spouse wants you to be Jewish. Not because Hitler didn't want you or anyone else to be Jewish. And not even because your rabbi wants you to be Jewish. You should be Jewish because God wants you to be Jewish. And because your soul is Jewish. There is in the heart of your Jewish soul a voice crying out to you to fulfill your mission as a Jew. That's the reason you're here, spending a perfectly good Monday morning at a synagogue when you could be doing many other more productive or fun things. That's the reason of so many of you have been schlepped and have schlepped your kids to bar and bat mitzvah lessons over screams of protests and not insignificant costs. That's the reason that your ears perk up when there is news of Israel on the TV or the radio. And that's the reason so many of you have converted to Judaism. How eloquently they have told me of a deep inner feeling about their Judaism. If you agree with me that it's worthwhile to be Jewish, let me offer you a challenge. I suggest that you do one thing more Jewishly in this coming year. As a management consultant and as a rabbi, I love the idea of not letting the best be the enemy of the good. It's important, I want to repeat it. Don't let the best be the enemy of the good. You don't have to do everything. Try one thing more Jewishly in the coming year. Maybe it's Jewish study. We have classes here in Ojai. I have a pamphlet outside, a sheet. I'm going to be teaching a class, an introduction to Judaism class in Ventura. One of the things I tried as I experimented with being more religious was take on one dietary observance. Maybe just take pork out of your diet. Next year you'll worry about lobster and shellfish. Coming to more services, personal prayer, visiting Israel, doing research on your own. We live in an age where everything is at your fingertips. Becoming more involved in temple activities. Just do something. Dear God, thank you for all the blessings in our lives. Thank you for placing us in a world where it is so easy to be Jewish, where the choice to be Jewish does not expose us to significant hatred or persecution. Thank you for placing libraries, the internet, teachers, rabbis, and synagogues in our presence that makes our journey so much more rewarding and easy. May you strengthen our resolve to deepen our Jewish experience so that we may better serve you as you inspire us and all peoples of faith to make this your world a better one. Let us say together, Amen.